I'm Dan Abnett, and you're listening to Sean Hammer.
But now winter is truly coming, and in the winter, we must protect ourselves, look after one another.
Well, hello, we are back. It's only been a week for me. This is an all-time probably, celebratory moment that I'm actually continuing to do this podcast I started. Let's see. For all of you new, I have no set recording time, but I promise to try and do it more frequently. I don't know if I'm going to do them once a week, two times a week, once a month. Well, probably more than once a month. I'm going to at least give you two times a month. But today we're going to go through with our winter-themed podcast, as you heard the mighty Sean Bean talking about, you know, from Game of Thrones. We're going to start today off. We're going to be talking about a few Flash figures from the HeroClix set of the Flash. And we're, of course, we're going to do ice and snow-themed. So we're going to be going over Chilblain. Let's see. Captain Cold, of course, and I forgot what the other name of this woman is, but anyway, I'll get to it. Then we're going to talk about some, finish up the Rasputina, going over stuff in on Crossroads, book for Malifaux, talk about the rest of the Frozen, Heart, group, and, we're going to go over some Space Wolf, new Space Wolf codec, or new, it's not really brand new, but from the last time you heard me talk about Space Wolves, it is new. So, that's what our plans are for today. Working on some advertisement sections to throw in here. I'm going to separate each section with a little bit of music. And, let me see. That's about all I got planned for you. Tell you what I've been doing. I've been painting. Been painting some Space Wolves. Been working on some the University Transmortis figures. I've got the Student of Sinew. And the Student of, I don't know, Metal. I don't know. I think it's Metal. But anyway, I got them painted. Working on the one that kills Undead now. And I, of course, have the Valedictorian. I'm working on those because I'm working on putting together Molly's crew. And that is definitely going to be two segments of a podcast. I broke Rasputina's up just because I didn't want to carry two books with me when I did it. And also getting back into not doing anything for over a year. This is kind of new again. So, that's what we're looking at. I've been playing some Zombicide. Yeah. It's a pretty kick-ass game. Ordered a couple bucks and figures. I ordered Gary, who's the Big Lebowski. Basically, Wallowitz from The Big Bang Theory, John Goodman from The Big Lebowski, and also the Simon Pegg character that's got a resemblance to Sean from Shaun of the Dead. And my name's Sean. How can I not like this? Alright, first off, we're going to go over a couple of HeroClix, and we're going to go in a little Frozen direction, I guess. First one, we have a common. So if you don't want to listen about HeroClix, go ahead and just hold fast forward on your iPods or computers for probably about 5-7 minutes. If I even last that long, you know how it is. Anyway, we got Chilblain. He is a common HeroClix figure. I have no idea who he is in the comic series. No, not a big into the Flash, although this set actually has impressed me a little bit, where I thought I wasn't going to buy a lot coming from the Flash set, but apparently I have no shutoff on things, and I own, like, everything from the Flash set but the Black Flash. So if anyone's got a Black Flash that listens to this from the Flash set and they wish to part with it, just let me know. Well, anyway, this guy here, the first time I think I've seen him in the comics, it wasn't even in comics. It was the Robot Chicken DC special with Mr. Freeze and Captain Cold and Icicle coming through. Chilblain popped in through the door. So this guy here, he's got keywords rogues, so he's going to work well with, obviously, a theme team of rogues. Maxing high of attack 10, 17 defense. He's got plasticity, penetrating psychic blast, barrier, incapacitate, and toughness for defense. Not great numbers. He's only 55 points, though. Nice little filler piece if you need him, I guess. He's got a special movement ability, which allows him to use plasticity and sidestep. This is called Captain Cold's Rig. And he's got two slots of damage power, which is Glider found a new patsy. Ah, Golden Glider, that's the last one. This is basically when turned into dial, if this click is revealed due to taking damage from opponent's attack or from healing, step turn in the dial, this power can't be countered or ignored. So it's pretty cool. Gives him a little staying power since he basically has barrier. It's his defense power for 5 clicks and toughness on his first. Like I said, this guy, not feeling him too much. He's got some synergy with the Golden Glider, and we'll go over that when I call over her. And let me find her here and stuff, and then we'll talk about it. So he's of course rogues, and that's probably who, you know, just gonna go with these, just stay with the theme of the podcast. It's December, trying to make amends for being a freaking total slacker, and I want to talk about some Heroclix, and I play it, I like it, and here we go. Next up is Golden Glider. This is the uncommon from the set, not the gravity feed. She's 60 points, 10 more points than Chillblain. She's got highest attack value is 9, movement ability 10, highest defense is 17. She's only doing 1 or 2 damage, but fortunately for 2 clicks she has exploit weakness, and for her defense she has close combat reflexes, so that 17 inadvertently turns into hand to hand into 19. She got Blade Sphinx and Clouds on her first 2 clicks of attack, and poison on the last 2, and she has charge on all of her dial but the last. She's of course rogue's keyword. She's got improved movement, so it's ignores elevated terrain, and she's got 2 traits. And this is, I think, where her point value comes in, and it's nice to hold up on, because a lot of these figures are rogues, you know, where they will be rogues, they're anti-flash, so apparently the flash runs, the best thing they can do is try and slow that mother down. She's got partners or siblings in crime. When she's adjacent to a character named the Top or Captain Cold or Chillblain, modify all of their attack values by +1, if not already modified by this effect. So initially she can give herself a +1 attack and whoever she's next to. And since it's a trait, runs through a whole dial, can't be countered, outwitted. So that's pretty cool. And she's got movement power. After Golden Glider moves and actions resolve, place up to 6 hindering train markers and squares she moves through. When the character occupying or adjacent to one of these markers attempts to move, it must attempt to break away, as if the marker was a character that can use plasticity and is friendly to Golden Glider. So she's really, just by moving, she's locking anyone down. You know, if you try and charge past that, you have to stop because it counts as a character. It's pretty neat. There has been some whatchamacallit, talk that people say, oh, they just, her tokens stay up there and everything, but I don't know if they do. It doesn't state that the frozen trail goes away at the end of turn, or if the markers are actually permanent. I would like to believe that they only last at the beginning of your next turn, so that's my opinion. But she's got a nice little synergy with Chillblain and Captain Cold, which we'll be going over next, and the Top, which is crazy. As for comics, I have not a damn clue who this chick is either. I mean, I know she's Lynyrd Stark's sister, just from reading a little bit about Lynyrd Stark, Captain Cold, Snark, not Stark, Captain Cold. Let's see, Captain Cold. This is the nice guy. He's got a calculator team ability. I forgot even if Golden Glider to look. No affiliation, and Chillblain has no team ability either. But Captain Cold is a calculator. He's 100 points even. He's got the Rogues, Secret Society, Supervillains, and Legion of Doom. All pretty cool keywords to run them on stuff, because I really like my Legion of Doom team. kind of digging my rogues, but they're not, like, super strong. You really need them to work. I think numbers in this matter. The rogues, you have to have numbers. And your secret society of supervillains, man, all I gotta say is Zoom, Professor Zoom from this set. Bam, simple as that. But this guy's got running shot first click, last two clicks blink. In between those, he's got sidestep, and I do like sidestep a lot. There's a nice new pink power that came out in HeroClix that I'm pretty fond of. Attack, he's got 10s for high and 9s for low, and it's almost split down his dial. Half of it, the first half 10, second half 9. He's got incapacitate the three clicks in between, but he's got special attack in the middle. What allows him to use precision strike, and this is really great in this set because there's a lot of super senses, and the precision strike will ignore that. When he hits with an attack, you may place an ice block terrain marker in that square. We'll get over with ice. We'll get to the ice block terrain markers in a minute. He's got three clicks of toughness and four clicks of barrier, which is... He's got a freeze gun, man. It's kind of... he used to have a freeze gun. This model has a... He looks like the Assassin's Creed Captain Cold. I don't know if I like him. No, I don't. I don't like him. I'm replacing him with my old Captain Cold figure on this dial. I like this dial. I do not like this sculpt. I think it's got something to do with the whole DC 52, and I'm not caught up on my comic books like I'd like to be. But it's expensive hobbies, man. Let's see, for his damage power, he's got I lead the rogues as much as anyone else does. This is really nice with him because he can use leadership, and when he does, he can remove tokens from characters with a rogue's keyword. And they are considered to have lower point value. And that's pretty nice because even though he's 100, you're running someone who's like maybe 115, he can use leadership because he's the leader of the rogues, and I think that's pretty badass. But where this guy weighs in as being super cheesy and super awesome is his frozen field. This is a trait. At the beginning of your turn, you may place an ice block special terrain marker within range and line of fire. Because it's a special terrain marker, it will stay. When a character occupying or adjacent to one of these markers attempts to move, it must attempt to break away as if the marker was a character that can use plasticity and is friendly to Captain Cold. So, I mean, this guy's putting out markers. I mean, as it gets stupid, I was playing the Flash Museum, and the game went forever. There was no time limit. And I was playing against that damn Etrigan from the set. That's all I'm going to say. And this guy was just pumping out those things. The whole board was just littered. I just wanted to see if I could use all my buddy Glenn's ice, his special tokens throughout the board. It was pretty hilarious. But, you know, because the ice blocks are friendly to Captain Cold, the rest of your team, I believe, suffer. So, my idea is run three Captain Colds in a 300-point game. Bam! But the problem is, you are wasting a calculator ability, because all of them do just have, they don't have a copyable team ability, and playing a 300-point game, you can't take an ATA or nothing. So, you know, that's my view of the top three, and I guess there's more in the set, but those are the only ones I'm going over. Just so you see how everyone likes it. But, like I said, I do like HeroClix. I like to talk about it. And I have a podcast where I talk about it, so more content, I guess. You don't like HeroClix? I'm sorry. I just don't know. But, yeah, that's what all my frozen, my ice black group from the Flash set. Just stayed with my December theme. Up next, we can take a quick little musical break, and we're going to finish up Rasputina's crew for the Frozen Heart ability from the, the Crossroads book. So, enjoy, and I'll talk to you in a moment. You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love. You never take. Someday you'll pay the price, I know. I've seen it before, it happens. Yeah, I was going to stop that about halfway through and tone it down, but I'm gonna, I thought to myself, well, if I get stuck in my effing head, why not you guys? So, you're very welcome. Anyway, let's finish up Rasputina and go over the rest of her Frozen Heart Ability crew. Now, these mofos come from the, what's it called, Crossroads book. Of course, you can get the cards available now. So you can, you know, add them to your collection if you want. So as I'm flicking through the book, because I'm doing this on the fly and that's the way it goes, we have the Silent One. Now, she's a pretty cool looking fig. I'm looking at buying Rasputina just because I realized, well, she's not bad. And I freaking like the Ice Golem. I mean, come on. That smash ability like I was talking about last time and the amount of damage it can do. I'm going to wreck face for that, hopefully. So if you listen to this, Chad, watch out. Chad's my nemesis right now. So we got the Silent One. 6 Soul Stones. 3 defense with a tome. 4 world power. 6 wounds. 4 walk. 5 charge. Height 2. She's got the Ice Mirror ability, so Rasputina will be able to cast spells through her. She's got the Frozen Heart, so she is immune to horror duels and paralyze. Now her defense has built-in tome, and it's Frozen Statue, sorry. After resolving against an enemy, this model gains the following condition to the end of turn. Statue. This model reduces all damage it suffers to 1 and is not considered to be engaged for purposes of Ice Mirror or Shattered Mirror. So what we're looking at here suffers 1 and is not considered to be engaged. So you could cast spells through her while she's in close combat, while she's engaged, because the ice statue makes it so she's not. So, I mean, that's pretty devastating. Her attack actions, she's got, with casting 6 with a tome, she's got freeze. This has 10 range and offers 2, 3, 4 damage, 3 and a 4 with a blast. It's got triggers of frozen shards. After damaging this action, gains the action. After damaging, take this action again. It may not declare trigger, so you ain't got a good hand on you. You could do a chain up some attacks. With the crow, she's got spreading ice. After damaging, place an ice pillar marker in the base contact with the target. The marker is a 50mm, height 5, blocking and impassable. Remove this marker at the end of the turn. Now, unfortunately, that Rasputina has to deal with the Malifaux 2.0 compared to 1.5 or 1 is these ice pillars go away, and before they didn't. So it's a little devastating blow, but hey, it happened for a reason. I do think the gameplay is a lot better in 2.0. So she's also with a ram, filling the cracks. After damaging, all models with a frozen heart ability within 2 heal within 2 of a pulse. I don't know. Heal 2 damage, but so you can heal your frozen heart ability. So that's pretty cool. She got Frozen Touch, melee MI attack 3 with the tome. Range 1, target suffers 1-1-6 damage. It's pretty solid severe, but the weak and the moderate is not that great. But she's already got one tome, and you want to get the other tome because she has a trigger, which after damaging with 2 tomes, the target gains paralyzed. So your horror cats and your Wendigo can eat them whole. So that's pretty cool. Tactical action, she has December's Favor, casting a 6 with tome, target model heals 1-2-3 damage. So this is the Frozen Heart model equivalent of the Librarian for the Free Corps, I think. When she does have a crow with her tome for her trigger, she got a feast in his honor. After succeeding, heal 1 damage on all frozen models with a frozen heart ability within 2 inches of target. So another heal. So looking at her, she's a little bit of a combat healer. Not super great in combat, but nevertheless, she's a healer. Not too bad. Pretty low defense though. But pretty creepy model. I like it. Next up we have the Blessed of December. Now this guy here, confused about him, because before it looked like a Wendigo or some wolfman type werewolf, now it's looks like a moose on top. It looks like a freaking purple horror zinch from 40K or fantasy. But anyway, this guy here, he's got 6 soul stones. He's enforcer, living rare, and beast. 6 defense, 5 willpower, 8 wounds, 5 walk, 7 charge, height 3. So this guy's, he's a big one. He's on a 40mm base, too. He's got frozen heart, so he's immune to horror duels and paralyze. He's hard to wound, so damage flips will receive a negative flip against them. He's unimpeded, so severe terrain, he ignores it. He's at eat your fill. After killing or sacrificing an enemy model, this model may choose to heal all damage it has suffered and end its activation. Pretty good. Well, who am I kidding? I'm going to get one. When I buy these Malifaux, I have no shutoff for this game. I started playing Malifaux because it's supposed to be cheaper, and it's like totally the opposite of cheap because I want to own everything. And every faction can get in more as long as they're within the faction. So, I mean, if you're going with the Rasputina, you get the Frozen Heart ability, you're going with that, but you can include other, Arcanists and stuff. So, I mean, the game, whew, just because it's a great game, fun to play, and awesome-looking models, is a big money draw. But anyway, I need to focus. This has Ragged Claws, MI7 with a crow. It's got 2-inch range, and target suffers 2-3-5 damage. Not too bad. If you have your extra crow on the trigger, though, he's got Go for the Throat when damaging if the target does not have the armor ability or condition, the target suffers +1 damage. It's got Gorge on Flash with the Ram. After damaging a non-construct model, take this action again against the same target. Now that's pretty cool because it doesn't have the may not declare triggers on that one. And just for the straight mask, it's got Into the Shadows. After damaging, push this model up to 4 inches in any direction. So you get a little bit of movement shenanigans out of this guy if you want. And speaking of movement shenanigans, he's got Tactical Action 0, Casting 2 with a mask, needing a Tinted Mask. He's got Leap. Model immediately moves up to his charge, ignoring intervening terrain and models during this move. So this guy's going to get around on the board a little bit. Well, you know what? For being 6 points and being an enforcer, it's a pretty good deal. Defense 6 isn't horrible. It's pretty good. I don't know. It's kind of worth it. The picture itself only shows, like, from the forearms up on this model, so you gotta really see how the rest of them looks. Last model we have is Snowstorm. This is a great-looking model, and 1.5, and I have rest assured it's gonna be a sweet-looking model in 2.0 when they finally release it. I'm not gonna buy another one, because I do like the one I have, and the resin, because my Rasputina is going to be all plastic. I like staying with the whole crew being plastic or metal. But I can live with this one. This guy here is 11 points. He is a henchman. Spirit, rare one. He's got a Soulstone Cache at 2. 6 defense, 5 willpower, 10 wounds, 6 walk, 7 charge, height 3. He's got Frozen Heart. He's got Explosive Demise. I like the self-destruct models, you know. The cause, man. All models within 2 inches suffer 4 damage when this model is killed, but not sacrificed. So when you do kill it, he's around some other people, he's doing some damage. And that's pretty cool, too, because if he damages and he dies, he kills some gammon and they die, they do more damage. So you can set off this chain reaction of little friggin' fanatical ice blow-up-y things. He's got Bulletproof 3, so he'll be reducing all damage suffered by +3 to minimum 1. I don't know how I feel about the whole minimum. I guess that's fair and stuff. Fair is fair, but I don't know. And he's got Middle of the Storm as ability. Other friendly models gain the following conditions while they remain 2 inches, and this is an aura. Bulletproof 1, reduce all damage suffered by this model from shooting attacks by +1. So that's pretty cool. He gives out a little, when you're moving across the board, he gives out a nice little buff against shooting. Now let's see what he's got for damage. He's got MI6 with a tome, range 3 with this guy, 3-4-6 damage. Trigger with a ram, because he's got the tome built-in grip winner when damaging. On the damage flip receives a double plus. That's pretty cool. He's got Gorge. This calls for a crow. After killing target, the model heals 5 points. So this guy's got a little bit of longevity hanging around him with his incredible bulletproof. Too bad he doesn't have armor, but, you know, we'll take it. And plus, he can heal 5 damage if he kills something, so that's cool. So, he's got Ice Tornado, cast at 5 with a tome. 8 range, it's a shooting attack. 2, 3 with 2 blasts, and 3 with 3 blasts. On damage, models with a frozen heart, which would suffer any damage from its action, reduce the damage to 0, and are pushed 3 inches in any direction. So that's pretty cool. Get a little bit more movement shenanigans in your crew. You know, I mean, you could even just focus the spell on them to move them up, get 3 inches, you know, to push. You get them out of damage, you can get them closer to something, closer to a scheme if they got it. So, I mean, it's got some potential. It's got overpower. It needs a mask with that tome. After damaging, immediately take this action again against the same target. This one may not declare trigger. So you can a little bit daisy chain your effects here. And he's got Foul Weather. This one is just the mask, so you can do it without needing any other suits if you don't have them. After damaging, push all models within 2 inches of the target, 2 inches away from the target. It's cool. A lot of pushy effects with this guy. And tactical actions, he's got 0. December's Command. Target another friendly model with the frozen heart within 8. It is placed base contact with this model. So, bam. Your movement tricks, you got them all right there. He's kind of a beat stick. He's not as much as a beat stick, I think, as the Ice Golem. But he's a henchman. So, you could run a low point crew with him. So, that's pretty nice. And like I said, if you are going to play Rasputina and you don't have this model, it's freaking sweet. So, that leads us to the end of the Frozen Heart section with Rasputina. Like I said, I make no apologize for the Foreigner song. May this be stuck in your head all night. We'll take another quick little tidbit of a break. We'll come back with a, I don't know, so that could be in-depth view. But it's going to be a quick overview of the newer Space Wolf Codex. And the reason why we're going over this is because I'm painting them and I'm working on building this army. So you gotta listen to me. I mean, you don't have to listen to me, but you are. So there you go. So we'll take a moment and be back to you in a few. The beginnings of Amon Amarth, Warriors of the North. I will play the whole song at the end if you want to hear it. It is a friggin' awesome song, and it's a theme, too, if you think about it with Space Wolves. So, we have the new War 6 slash, whatchamacallit, version 6 or 7th, that they're on 40k Codex. And looking at it, it's a nice little hardcover book with beautiful art, great colored photos, and a lot of copy and paste from old white dwarfs. Blah-de-da-de-da-de. I like my Space Vikings. Not entirely too impressed with this codex as I was the last one. Not going to lie to you. But this is not a bad codex. It is a Marine codex, so all your guys are running around with strength, toughness, 4. Of course, your 3 plus armor save, or 2 if you're in Terminator armor. There's not a lot of army-wide special rules except for more mixed formations with these guys, with Fenrir's Wolves. I didn't go over points or nothing, but we'll just go. I'll just touch on something new in the changes and let you know my thought, and we'll go over it. So first we got the Wolf Lord, your basic Space Marine commander. Options that you can take with like every Space Marine. Of course, he's got his Warlord traits, which we'll get to that. We got Ragnar Blackmane, still a cool in theory model, character. Model, I wish they would have redone his character. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Ragnar's been around for a while. He's one character I've had for the longest time, and the sculpt is still the same. I think it's static, small. It needs to be, upgraded, Games Workshop. Make a freaking new Ragnar Blackmane model. Next up, we have Harald Deathwolf. He's new, but not new. His character, his figure was around since last edition. But he didn't have stats. He was just a wolf lord on a Fenris wolf. But now we got stats for him. He's coming at 190 points. This guy, though, has 6 weapon skill, 5 ballistic skill, 5 strength, 5 toughness, 4 wounds, ba-da-da. He's got bolt pistol, frost axe, frag grenades, crack grenades, storm shield, thunderwolf mount. This codex, what it did that the last one didn't do, you don't buy your sagas anymore. They come on your warlords. As a matter of fact, when you roll for your warlord traits on the end, it's just nothing but the sagas that we kind of had before in the last codex. So I don't know how I feel completely about just the reuse of old material, but it is what it is. This is what we got. Special rules, he's got acute senses, they show no fear, counterattack, outflank, independent character. He's Lord of all Wolfkin, all friendly space wolf, cavalry, beast models within 12 inches of the Harald Deathwolf. Use his leadership, unless it's higher. Okay. He can take up to 2 Fenrisian wolves, like most of the characters can. But I like his Relic of the Fang. He's got Mantle of the Ice Troll. When Harald Deathwolf is... He's just unaffected by all pyromancy, psychic powers, all flamer-based weapons, as described in 40k rules. That's pretty cool. Not a lot to this guy. He's just a beat stick with a frost axe, storm shield, thunderwolf mount, and ignoring flame weapons. I like him, though. I do own the model, and he's in fine cast, so it's pretty cool. We have Candace Wolfborn. I think he lost a lot. I don't think he gained anything. He's still an ugly-looking model, but I own him. He's Space Wolf, so I gotta have him. He lost his special attack. He can make an attack against everyone with base contact with him. I thought that gave him enough flavor to use, but I think if I have to choose between 190 points to take Harald Deathwolf or 185 points to take Canis Wolfborn, I'm going with Harald Deathwolf. Next up, we got a rune piece, and of course, after that, for a Psyker, we have everyone's favorite Yao Stormcaller. Or Yao Stormcaller, I don't know. Some people tell me that. I don't know how to pronounce it now. Meow. Anyway, he's awesome. He's pretty much the same. A little bit weaker with his psychic shooting attacks that they had in the last edition, you know, with the Tempest and stuff. But I think they did have to tone it down. Let's see. He's got the Saga Mastery. He's in Mastery Level 3. I still like him. Beautiful model. I recommend everyone use him. We have the regular generic Wolf Priest and Auric the Slayer. Auric is just Auric. He's been that way for the longest time. He's got Slayer's Oath. We have Wolfguard Battle Leader. Bjorn the Fell-Handed took a little bit. We got him too. Now he's at HQ with the Saga of Majesty. He's got Ancient Tactician. He has +1 to seize the initiative rolls. He's got Ward of the Primarch. He has a 5+ invulnerable save. But what makes him a little bit different, he's got a little bit more options you can take. Of course, he's front armor 13, so we all know there's a little bit of saving grace compared to regular dreadnoughts. But he can take a Hellfrost Cannon, and we'll get over that, and that's pretty cool. His Relic of the Fang is True Claw. In addition to the profile below, True Claw has a built-in heavy flamer, so this is Strength 10. AP2, Master Crafted, Shred. That's nice. We have the Blood Claws. They got a little bit better, I think, only because they're a tad bit cheaper, but a Blood Claw is a Blood Claw. We have Lucas the Trickster. Pretty much doing the same, except his last laugh is only during a challenge. And I didn't like this model, but I bought him on eBay, painted him up. He's a fun model. I'll post a picture of him coming up pretty soon. Fun model to paint. I'm looking forward to running them. As a matter of fact, that's why I have one unit of Blood Claws, just so I can run Lucas the Trickster. Grey Hunters took a little bit of a hit. Pretty much a Grey Hunter. And with these units, they can take the special weapons, which they can take a Hellfrost Cannon. You have to buy close combat weapons now. 2 points a model. So these guys are 14 points. Now they're 16 with the close combat, bringing them up to what we kind of looked at in the last edition and the last codex. But still, solid choice. We have Iron Priest, which I don't really use, or Servitors, but they're, if you're listening to 40K, I mean, play 40K, you know what the hell they do anyway. We have Wolf Scouts. They lost a bit. They don't have the outflank special rule anymore. And the only way they can move through cover and infiltrate and scout, well, I guess they got scout, so they could do that. They can't include a Wolf Guard battle pack leader, which all the units in the book can take a pack leader now, which is basically a Wolf Guard. Oh my god, it's right there. But anyway, they're okay. I mean, scouts, I don't really feel, if I want to run a power armor marine army, I'm running a power armor marine army. I just don't, I don't see the appeal of scouts too much, except just to own them. We have the Lone Wolves, which, like I said, the last codex, if you want to hear more about the stuff I'm just glazing over, it's pretty much the same roles that you use and everything. So you can go ahead and, you can look at my library and find my old Space Wolf episode, listen to it if you want to fill in the gaps. Lone Wolves, 20 points apiece. You can have a plethora of different stuff on them. I like the feeling of Lone Wolf. Nice point filler. Excellent. We got the Dreadnoughts, 95 points. You can equip these guys with Giant Frost Axe and a shield. That's the only difference. Of course, you can make them venerable. Front armor 12, side armor 12. We're looking at the same thing. We got special character Dreadnought in here, Murderfang. It's a crazy old coot inside of a double ice clawed Dreadnought. He's got It Will Not Die, Range, Rampage, Fierce Charge, Murderlust. Ignores effects of crew shaking and stun, so it's kind of like that, what you call it for Sisters Battle, the Patentant Engine, I can't even say it. His Murder Claws are Strength 7, AP 2, Melee, Mastercrafted, Shred, Specialist Weapon. Not bad. We got the guys I think that are Shining Stars in here for Elite Choice. We have Wolfguard. And you can really deck out this unit. They're coming up to 18 points a model, but by the time you can do anything with them, they're pretty cool. You put them on jump packs, space marine bikes, you can have double lightning claws, plasma rifles, frost axes, power swords. Pretty cool. Two attacks running with these guys. I'm going to make small unities, and I have a space wolf dreadnought. I mean, not dreadnought. Razorback, and that's what's going inside of Razorback. You got the Wolf Guard Terminators, which they're Terminators. I mean, I could go over everything, but not. We have Swift Claws, Arjack Rockfist, which I bought him, and he's going to be making a appearance in my army. He's pretty cool. Weapon Skill, Ballistic Skill, Strength 5, 4 Toughness, 2 Wounds, Initiative 4, 3 Attacks, Leadership 9, 2 plus Armor Savings, and Terminator Armor. Acute Senses, Independent Character, Stubborn. You can only join a unit of Wolf Guard Terminators. If he's included, the attachment includes one unit of Wolf Guard Terminators. He does not take up a Force Organization chart. So that's pretty cool. He's Grimnar's Champion, Arjack Rockfist, must issue a challenge. Blah, blah, blah. Anvil Shield is, this is pretty cool. It gives him a 3+ invulnerable save, Internal Warrior, and the Hammer Wrath special rule. I mean, this guy is pretty cool. He's like a freaking, he's like Thor. He's got a full hammer that has a range of 6. It's got assault 1, concussive, strength times 2, AP 2 if he chucks it at you. And in close combat, it's strength times 2, so it's going to be strength 10, AP 2, melee, concussive, unwieldy. So he's pretty cool. He is running with my Terminators, and they are going to be in the new troop transport that this book has, and we'll get to that. We got the Swift Claws, which are bikers. Unfortunately, they're Blood Claws, so their weapon skill and ballistic score 3. We have Rhinos and Razorbacks, Drop Pods, and we have the new Storm Wolf. This is a ballistic skill 4, front side and rear armor 12, hit point 3 vehicle that flyers, hovers, transport. Carry 16 models. Access point at the front of the hull. It's assault vehicle. Power the machine spirit. ceramite platings, twin-linked heavy bolters, twin-linked las cannon, twin-linked hell frost cannon. Holy shit. Options, you can replace the heavy bolters with Skyhammer missile launchers or twin-linked molotov meltas. It's kind of a fugly-looking vehicle, but not entirely that bad. I got one, and my Terminator's going in it. Next up, we have a giant doggies that the Space Marines ride. These are the Thunderwolf Cavalry. Solid choice. I'm just going to put that out there. Solid choice. I like them. I have three. I don't know if I'm going to have more. I like the flavor of it. I don't think they look stupid. You can go ahead and... any model can take items from the melee weapon list, and any model can take melta bombs. I was like, they're a good shock unit. We had the Fenrisian Wolves. They're wolves. I probably will own a couple, but I'm not going to jump out. Jump for joy for them. We have Sky Claws, which are your jump picks. Blood Claws, of course, again with weapon skill, ballistic skill 3. I'm going to gloss over these because I think the investment of Space Marine with weapon skill and weapon skill and ballistic skill 3 is not necessary. It's flavorful, and it unfortunately is the only way you can play Lucas the Trickster. So I will have one unit, but that's it. Space Force Scam Land Speeders. Land Speeders. 50 points apiece. Of course, you can deck them out. They are cool, in essence. You have Geelong Fangs, and that's pretty much what you were looking at last edition. Let's see, they can split fire. So you can spam them on again if you want. I mean, long fangs are long fangs. Long fangs are Devastator Squads. Do with them as you will. Next up, we have the Storm Fang gunship, though. 220 points. Transport capacity 6 models, so you're not putting no termies in this one. It's got a Hellfrost Destructor, which you'll go over. 2 twin-linked heavy bolters. 2 Storm Strike missiles. Ceramic plating. Yeah, this is truly your gunship. Let's see. Long fangs or long fangs. We can have vindicators. I don't remember what we could before. Whirlwinds, predators, land raiders, and all the variants: crusader and redeemer. Last but not least, we have probably my favorite but most confused model in this book: Logan Grimnar. 215 points. He's a beast. Let's see. He's got Axe of Morkai, which gives him in one-handed. He can swing it one-handed with a +2 strength, AP3 melee. Or he could swing it two-handed, x2 strength, armor-piercing 2, melee two-handed unwieldy. So that takes his strength up to 8. He's everything that you would want out of a Wolf Lord. Unfortunately, though, he's 250 points for a guy on foot. Add 70 points to put him on Storm Rider. Storm Rider is a chariot pulled by two wolves. It's a hover chariot. A lot of people say it looks like Santa's sleigh just because, but I like it. It looks neat. Storm Rider has a 4+ invulnerable save and can move up to 12 inches in movement phase. All penetrating hits against Storm Rider counts as glancing hits instead. When riding Storm Rider, Logan Grimnar loses the Deep Strike special rule, which is granted through Terminator armor. He can no longer join other units or be joined by independent characters. If he's riding Storm Rider, though, Logan Grimnar makes 4 additional strength 5 AP attacks, AP dash attacks with each assault phase. These attacks are made in initiative 5 step. This can grant extra piling moves and stuff like that. My biggest fault I have with this character: 250 points without the sled. Don't know how I feel about that. I mean, yeah, he's got 4 wounds and he's got internal warrior and stuff. But the problem I have with Logan Grimnar in this one, he's a Lord of War. So he's going to take up one of your Lord of War choices. So I don't know. I think that's wasted. I really do. I think he should be straight HQ at the points. We got the Great Company Force Formation. We got more beautiful color photos. And let's go ahead and touch on let's see, like I said, the Warlord traits are your sagas. Saga of the Warrior Born, Saga of the Wolfkin, Saga of the Beast Slayer, Saga of the Bear, Saga of the Hunter, Saga of a Majesty. But what we have to look at in here, we have the Hellfrost weaponry. Anything with a Hellfrost special rule says when a model suffers one or more unsaved wounds from this weapon, it must pass a separate strength test for each wound suffered, or be removed from play. Yeah. The Hellfrost cannon has two different ways it can shoot, as well as the Destructor. Focus, unfocus on each. Both are the disperses on the Hellfrost cannon is heavy 1, blast Hellfrost, strength 6, AP 3. Focus is strength 8, AP 1, heavy 1, Hellfrost. Hellfrost Destructor, same stats, same APs as before, but the disperses heavy 1, Hellfrost, large blast, and heavy 1, lance, Hellfrost. I know, I think it's a really flavorful weapon that I'm going to use, and hopefully it pays off, and I like the flavor of the weapon and the little things that they put up with what armies can specialize in. We got the Blizzard Shield for your Dreadnoughts. Heavy Duty Storm Shield designed for the Chapter's Dreadnought. Strength as the user, AP2 Melee Shield, so... And it gives you 3+ invulnerable saved against all hits that strike the Dreadnought's front armor. So it gives your Dreadnought a 3+ invulnerable save and doesn't waste an attack. It gives grants an attack. And Frost Blades, pretty much the Frost Blades. And of course, we have the runic weapons and everything. And Tempest Discipline. Overall, is Sean happy with the Space Wolf Codex? Yeah. Wish I had a little bit more. I think the old codex, for some odd reason, had a little bit more flavor. I don't know if it was just new at the time, and everything was new, and we're just rehashing old stuff, as you can see we went through. They did a couple changes I don't think was necessary, for the worse. But all in all, outside of Logan and Grimnar, I have no real big bitches about this codex. I like my Space Vikings, and I hope you do too. Well, I'm going to call that it for right now. Next episode, we're going to be going over either The Exorcist in Malaflow or Molly Squid Pidge, Warband, and we'll be focusing on horrors and bells with her. Then we'll get into spirits next time after that, because I'm going to, when I go over Karai's, I'll rehash their spirits then and bring the similarities between both crews. Let's see. Maybe some Blood Angels. I don't know if I'll do any hero clicks. Would make it be a surprise. So, what the hell? You got any questions, comments? You want to talk to me? You want to be on the show? Send me something, man. Let me know you're listening at SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. And remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. We'll be right back.
and brave. We're all but strong as before, and we're